Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to exclusive teachings, consultations, and resources. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. I'm Harmony Quaker, licensed counselor, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, where I teach Gestalt therapy. I created this podcast to support therapists and clients in unlocking the magic of psychotherapy. In season two, I'm joined by expert therapists who bring a wealth of insight into the conversation of transpersonal counseling. Being raised by parents who are healers has been fundamental in my understanding of the human condition. My dad, Dr. Michael Quaker, is an osteopath who has a truly unique way of working with patients. We've been talking on the phone every Sunday for the past 25 years, and I'm so excited to have him join me on this episode to share his truly holistic approach to health and healing. I hope you enjoy this peek into our sweet connection.
Busiest week, what I was grateful for, because I'm going to take Thursday and Friday off this coming week, and to get my procedure. So I really wanted to have a nice week, so I didn't have to sweat the money or anything like that, and it really turned out really great. I had just an awesome week. I really did.
I love knowing that. I had a great week too. I mean, just so sunshine and beautiful here in Colorado. And I helped Tobin clean his room yesterday. I know. He was so happy, so grateful.
Got rid of all the clothes that don't fit.
Yeah. And he's about to be 13. So just kind of the younger toys and stuff that he doesn't want anymore.
Right. Oh, that is such a great thing
Yeah.
to make room for the new.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm just so excited to be here with you. We talk every Sunday anyways, but as I was preparing to talk to you in this way, I was really reflecting on how you've been a model for me over the course of my entire life, really, about this commitment to health and wholeness of humanity with so much passion, like endless passion. And I just would love to hear more just about your journey, about how you arrived to practicing medicine in this way.
Well, I swear I'm lucky. It's luck. I lucked into this, to the nutrient-oriented medicine thing in the first place, by getting an infection in my eye that my Harvard-trained ophthalmologist could not take care of. I was director of emergency services in Oregon, of course, where you were born. And I had this eye infection, and he gave me cortisone drops, and I'd put the drops in, and I'd feel better. And 4 hours later, my eye'd be killing me. And my friend Howard found this practice in Sacramento, and I came down here. And the guy who was here, Gary Gordon, who's no longer on this planet, anyhow, he gave me a shot in the butt of Virazyme, which is a homeopathic remedy. I got an IV of vitamin C, and I got 400,000 units of vitamin A all at once. And my eye was better, like magic. So I couldn't ignore that. So I typed out my resignation at the hospital. I met the director, who I really was a great guy. He treated me phenomenally great. Anyhow, so I told him I was leaving. I found a replacement, which was lucky as can be. And I came down to Sacramento, and it's been all roses ever since.
Yeah, but what I love about this story is that you recognize the magic and you followed the magic and the spark of something that was beyond what conventional medicine was saying was the effective intervention.
Right. Oh, everybody at the hospital told me I was crazy. Everybody at the hospital. I says, "What do you mean I'm crazy? I know what I know. You can tell me I'm crazy, but I know I'm not crazy."
Yeah, I mean, but what you just spoke to there is medical gaslighting, which happens to so many people all the time. And I think you see it too with people who come to you who've had that experience of being undermined. And then you see them for the potential of their health and healing in a way that no other physician does.
Yes, that does happen. I do have one cool thing that happened to me recently, I gotta tell you. So, I told you before, but I'll just say for the sake of the tape or whatever. So I got a blood test and my PSA level was 8.9. So I go on Google because it's got AI now, and I ask what viruses raise PSA levels, and it comes up with one called HHV8. So I make a remedy to HHV8 and I take it for 4 days. 2 weeks later, my 8.9 is 5.7. 2 weeks later, it's 3.9. 2 weeks after that, which was just a couple of weeks ago, is 3.1. So just in the space of 8 weeks, this ordinarily terrifying thing for men, prostate biopsies, prostate MRIs, going to get your radiation, get your prostate out, all of a sudden it's gone. So anyhow, I got that. So I was telling Zach about that yesterday. I got the COVID thing, which is bothering my heart. So he says, "Well, why don't you make a COVID remedy?" So, on the device, there's 40 COVID remedies. So this morning I came in instead of working out and I pendulumed every single COVID remedy, all 40 of them, and I found the one. And so I'm now taking the COVID remedy specific that I think is the one that damaged my heart. And I'm just going to see if by the time I'm supposed to go in for the procedure, if my heart isn't back.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing that I think is so brilliant about the magic of homeopathy is that it really works with your vitality. It nudges your vital force to find its way back to balance, back to health.
It's so one-to-one perfect too sometimes. I had a couple this week that just blew my mind. So I had this lady come in. She's had pain in her eye for like 8 weeks. She sees the best ophthalmologist in Sacramento, in my opinion, and he continues to tell her that it's something called chlamydia trachomatis, and she has to take antibiotics for like a month, and she doesn't want to do it. She's already had the homeopathic to chlamydia trachomatis at a 10 mg. So I know she doesn't have chlamydia trachomatis in my heart, anyhow. So I poke her fingers, poke her, and it just comes up herpes simplex, just simple canker sore virus. 4 hours later, she texts me and tells me the pain is gone after 8 weeks. I mean, that's what I call homeopathic magic. It's just unreal. It's just absolutely unreal.
And I think that you can feel the magic and know the magic. And some people want to try to understand the magic. And there is a lot of understanding in science with homeopathy. Will you describe a little bit about what it is and what's actually happening when you make a remedy?
To me, this is my, I'm an osteopath. So as an osteopath, we are told from day one that the body is the best healer. I mean, we are told, and it is pounded into us over and over again, bring the body back to homeostasis, bring the body back to homeostasis. And that's all homeopathic remedies do. They just balance up this negative energy back to some normal energy, and the body can then begin to repair itself for any damage that's been done. It's just so perfectly aligned. And the thing I love best, the guy who started homeopathy, Samuel Hahnemann, was born in 1755. Are you kidding?
It's
So
amazing.
I know. It's like it's been around for 250 years and people are still doubting it. If it didn't have any validity, it wouldn't be here.
Yeah, when I was reading the biography on Hahnemann, the author really linked together how homeopathy was created around the same time that vaccines were created, that there's this like similar principle involved. But homeopathy is working with a person's vitality where a vaccine is suppressing vitality. There's this wisdom about really understanding a person's vital force and how that is essential to their healing.
Right. And then you put it together with optimal diet and a little exercise and then nutrients, and before you know it, you got a healthy person on your hands. It's fun.
Isn't that amazing?
Fun. Yeah.
You still love it. You love it so much.
Oh, I mean, people retire and I just, what do they do? I don't know what they do when they retire. I don't get it.
Yeah, and so you're sharing some stories and some cases about where the medical system sort of fails the patient. And as a psychotherapist, I see this with psychopharmacology all the time. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that, on suppressive medication.
I think psychopharmacology is so the absolute incorrect approach. I mean, even their best thing, which is giving selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors like Prozac or Paxil or Celexa or whatever it is, giving that to an A blood type, which raises their serotonin level, which theoretically would be okay. You could raise the serotonin level just by giving 5-HTP, which is the biochemical precursor to serotonin. Plus, the brain only uses sugar for energy. Brain cells burn five times more sugar than any other type of cell in the body. If the brain's malfunctioning, first thing, stabilize the blood sugar. So the brain is on cruise control and not, using the freeway analogy, going up to 80, going back down to 60, going up to 80, going back down to 60, up, down, up, down, up, down, so it doesn't know if it's pitching or catching. Going 70, 70, 70, 70, 70, at least we've got a brain that's on an even functional level. You know, just that. And then when you put in, conscious recognition of your patterns, that you find out through psychotherapy, it's Katie bar the doors.
This is probably my stance because I was raised by you, but there's something about, using the least amount of intervention to really honor a person's system that feels, just so nonviolent and so supportive, as opposed to like hammering it down with a sledgehammer.
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. And plus the ones they come out with now are just like they are sledgehammers. They're way different than just the Prozac or Paxil. I mean, they just get heavier and heavier and heavier. And then once you're on them, they put the fear of God in you. You
Yeah.
can't stop them all at once because you'll be crazy. So you've got to wean off over the course of like 6 or 9 months.
Yeah, and I will say, and I believe you have this stance too, that sometimes when a person is in an acute state and they need stability, an intervention like medication can be useful. And I know that you do prescribe also. So it's not that we're saying never, but it's like really about like having choice, at not just being like the band-aid that covers everything.
I don't think I've initiated more than three psychotropic prescriptions in, I don't know, ever. I'm okay with Valium and Valium derivatives to calm a person down. And just super duper low dose, 2 milligrams, or even take a 2 milligram and break it in half. Something, I like the benzodiazepines to just settle the person down in the rough and tumble world we're living in these days, which are so frantic.
I know that you have a really unique way of understanding your patient's inner psyche and like their inner way of moving and being in the world. And I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit.
Well, the first thing I do when I meet anybody is I want to know their birthday and their birth name. I mean, that is number one for me because I can garner so much information off of that. And what I'll do is I'll just go through my name and show. So I was born on 10/10/1944. I love those numbers, by the way. Anyhow, 1 plus 9 plus 4 plus 4 is 18, plus 10 is 28, plus 10 is 38. So in numerological terms, I'm known as a 3811, born on a 10 day. I have a zero here and I have a zero here. Then when I take my name and write it out, Michael Jerome Quaker, each letter has a assigned number, like M is the 13th letter of the alphabet and 1 plus 3 is 4. So putting consonants down on the bottom and vowels up on top, C is the third letter, H is the eighth letter, L is the 12th, so that's a 3, J is the 10th, so that's a 1, R is an 18, so that's a 9, M is 4, K is the 11th, so that's a 2, W is the 23rd, so that's a 5, K is the 11th, so that's a 2, and R is 18th, that's a 9. And on the vowels, five, ninth letter, five. O is the 15, so that's a six, five, five, one, nine. So I won't go through adding these up, but trust me, this is going to add up to 36. And 3 plus 6 is 9. So my solurge is a 36-9. And my consonants add up to 50. So I got another zero there, which is a 5. And 9 plus 5 is 14. And 1 plus 4 is 5. So that's my whole numerological. Of my name, I have a 1, I have a 2, I have a 3, I have a 4, I have a 5, I have a 6. I don't have any sevens. So I'm missing sevens. I have an 8 and I have a 9. So missing numbers are the key for me to recognize my own weakness. So I tend to gloss over things instead of really getting into them deeply, really understanding on the deepest, deepest level. So knowing that, I try to scrutinize and double check and get into it more so that I can cover myself for that seven. The 3811, which is my main number, 11. 11 is double creativity, double independence. So I'm much better off working by myself, and I'm much better off just letting it flow in terms of just thinking whatever, trusting the thoughts that are going to come into my mind are really correct thoughts. And to back that up, I have a zero here, a zero here, and a zero here. Those zeros are the numberless number of knowing how to read energy. So I'm good at understanding people and looking at people and reading their energy. I know during an office visit if I'm losing them. I know when to kind of reignite the fire in them to get themselves well. I had a 16-year-old in here who was diagnosed as diabetes in December, like a brand new diabetic. No family history of diabetes. So I got a chance right at the initial part of the diabetes to try and make a difference. This was Friday, but he was 16. And I was trying to talk to him about food and I was losing him and I had to bring him back and bring him back. But I recognize it. And by the time we left, I feel like we have a good working relationship. So we'll see what the next 3 weeks bring. The five makes me kind of adventurous. So I do, kind of take chances. And my first letter that I greet the world with is an M. So I've got two posts in the ground. M has two posts right in the ground. So it kind of gives me a firm footing, just like the H for you. You have two posts in the ground. And my first vowel is 9. So I have that maybe 5% wants me to connect vertically. I is vertical, wants me to connect vertically with every single thing I do. So in that, I just know all sorts of things right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, you know so much from that. And for those listening on audio, I just want to say that you are pointing to numerology in the name that is 1 through 9, the letters
Right.
1 through 9. And so then reducing numbers that are higher in the alphabet down to its lowest number.
Correct.
And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's based on physics. So, similar to homeopathy, it's like an energetic frequency that's being measured through the name and through the birth number.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I know I'm positive it's true, because I was born Michael Jerome Quaker. So that from the day I was born. So anybody who says, "What's his name?" You're Michael Jerome. You're Michael Jerome. You're Michael Jerome Quaker. Michael Jerome Quaker. Michael Jerome Quaker. That imprint has imprinted so heavily that it's me, and now, and that with the birthday, all I can say is you can know somebody so fast. I mean, sometimes I have people come in and they're missing twos, fours, sixes, and eights. Oh my God.
That's a lot of numbers to be missing.
A lot of numbers to be missing. I have two of them that I saw on Thursday. And I know I've got to be gentle with these people. They're easily hurt. They're tender. Got to be very careful. I got to just nudge them along.
I have a client who is missing several numbers, but one number in particular that she's missing is a nine. And the way that I see her try to map to other people, right? Because that not having that nine, as I learned from you, did you use the word aimless? Is that right?
Aimless. Aimless is
Aimless.
the right word.
Yeah. And so they're aimless. And so they try to put their aim onto somebody else to be like their north node. And it's, a pattern that is really like hard for her to overcome.
It's really difficult. Overcoming nines are, it's hard because it's kind of like it's not defined. Like if somebody's missing a four, okay, we just want them to clean their room and fold their clothes and wash their dishes, and they can overcome that just by the simple things of doing that.
Well, I would say, and also for somebody missing fours, be responsive and curious about other people as opposed to reactive for the sake of reaction.
Right. Fours definitely do. Yeah, they do that. Anyhow, so nines are tough. Nines are tough because it's not totally clearly defined. It's tough to be not nines and not ones. Not ones is not easy either.
Well, and I think I was probably 20 years old when you first started studying numerology. I mean, you were studying astrology before I was born, because I know that the moment I was born, you or mom looked at the clock to like know the exact time of my birth. But so you and I have both been working on, sort of potential of the weakness of our name for many, many years. And so knowing for me that I have no threes in my name, which is the only number that I'm missing, and working on my communication for as long as I've had to be in right use of speech, to not quiet myself, not complain, and like really expand the energy of my throat chakra and like really open up into the vibration of three within me has really transformed me in a way that's really integrated by this point, I'd say,
I know you really are a model for somebody who is consciously working that energy to recognize it, overcome it, and even expand on it. Because look at all you've done communication-wise.
Well, and I say that too because I think that some people, when they start hearing all the numbers that they're missing, they can feel overwhelmed, like, oh, so this is like what I'm just kind of stuck with, But really, it's an opportunity to expand your own capacity and to grow into a fuller expression of yourself.
Right. I agree with that. And as also when they're missing the like the twos, four, sixes, and eights, I'd say, okay, you've got a prominent five, you've got a prominent seven, see where those are at and just appreciate those. So you can always go back to those things, because yeah, missing a lot of numbers can be a bit overwhelming sometimes.
Before we transition to the teaching piece that we're going to do after this, I do want to say that for anybody who's listening, but also just because I love this about what you do, is you take phone calls in the morning at your office for people to call in and ask you about working with you or tell you what's happening for them. Will you say more about that?
Yes, I don't want to practice where somebody comes in just to get their thyroid medicine refilled. I did not join up for that. If somebody needs their thyroid medicine refilled, call me up, tell me you need it. I'll call on a prescription. Have a nice day. You don't have to pay me $250 for that. I don't want that. I want somebody who comes in and we have something we want to work on. So I started taking phone calls. This is way back. I mean, I'll say this is way, way, way back. And it really worked out good. I could get a few things done, and the person doesn't have to come in. And it's really allowed me to expand my practice. I'm in Northern California, so I'm in Sacramento. I've got people coming from Milpitas, Novato, and Tahoe, and Grass Valley, but they don't have to come in all the time. They can call me and we can go over a couple of things and sort things out without the travel. It really makes it a lot easier on them and me.
Yeah. And you do it for an hour in the morning, is that
Yeah,
right?
8 to 9, Monday through Friday, and 916-489-4400. And just if somebody wants to call and ask a question about anything, I'll give them my perspective on it. Not the right answer or wrong answer, but how I would approach that problem and how I think they should approach that problem.
Amazing. Thank you. Join us in the Awaken Therapist online classroom, where my guest offers a masterclass in their area of expertise. This is intended for educational purposes only, and the content here should not be taken as advice or clinical supervision. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. The Awaken Therapist Level 1 certification is starting September 2025. In the 6-month training, you'll learn how to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. Join us in exploring deeper dimensions in your work with clients with less burnout. To learn more, check out our trainings at awakentherapist.com.